We are unable as a committee to send any directive or instructions to another committee, so therefore, the motion made by Representative Ackerman is out of order. Representative Zoner. No, wait a minute. We still have your motion. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection to Representative Zoner's motion to move House Bill 3408A as amended to rules with no recommendation? Seeing no discussion, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Representative Greenlee.
Excused.
Representative Doyle.
Aye.
Representative Ackerman.
Aye.
Representative Zoner.
Aye.
Representative Richardson.
Aye.
Chair Girard.
Chair votes aye. House Bill 3408A, as amended, is moved to rules with no recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to suspend the rules so that my friend Mr. Greenlee can vote, or can, is that possible?
Representative Zoner has moved that we suspend the rules to allow Representative Greenlee to vote on House Bill 3408A.
As amended.
As amended. And seeing no objection, Representative Greenlee, how do you vote?
Vote aye.
Representative Greenlee votes aye. House Bill 3408A is moved to rules with no recommendation. And we close, as amended, and we close the work session on House Bill 3408A. Okay. Yeah. We shall open the work session on House Bill 2617.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what you have before you is dash two amendments to House Bill 2617. You will not find a staff measure summary on these. We knew that they were coming, and I personally didn't receive them until this morning. There are people here that can go ahead and testify to this. My quick review of the amendment is it's replaces the original measure and speaks.
I think that's. Is that the right
one?
Okay.
No. And speaks directly to buildable lands in eastern and southern Oregon.
Okay. Here. Do we have the proponents of the amendment here?
Yeah, but you're not paying attention.
We could have,
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Doug Riggs representing the Central Oregon Cities Organization. I want to do a couple things quickly here before David Hales, who's the city manager from Bend, gets up and presents a little more detail about the specific instance. But let me just simply give you a quick summary of why we're here today. There are a number of sites, two in particular that I'm aware of in the state, that might qualify under the provisions in the dash two amendments that we have. And one of them was raised by Bend about a month and a half ago as a large area contiguous to the UGB that would be used for industrial or traded sector purposes, which is the definition in Senate Bill 467, which the Industrial Lands Working Group worked on, which might be available more quickly for development if there was a kind of an expedited process. As you all know, we've heard time and time again in session that the land use process, while it might work in the end, is extremely time-consuming and, in some cases, expensive. So we started with a proposal back at the beginning of March that we suggested to members of the Industrial Lands Working Group that would exempt individual sites, specified individual sites, from the provisions of Oregon Land Use Planning Law. And as you might expect, that was met with some opposition from some of the usual suspects in the building, and we expected they'd be concerned. So we then watered the bill down to be more general in nature and say that non-specified sites that met certain criteria could be exempted by the Economic and Community Development Department for land use planning requirements. We took that to the Industrial Lands Working Group. Most people on the working group seem to be in agreement with that. Our friends, 1,000 Friends, did not like that idea, and so we pulled that back. And I've been speaking with a variety of folks in the building over the last month to try to come up with something that would be very targeted, limited in nature, a pilot project, would not affect Portland or the Willamette Valley, but would give communities like Bend or like Klamath Falls the opportunity to kind of move ahead with their process of bringing industrial land into their UGB. So I do want to pass out a sheet that lists the 10 major changes that we have. And the committee can look through these at their leisure. So what we've ended up with here after several weeks of negotiations is something that really is very limited and targeted, and we've made a real effort to focus in on the issue. What the amendment in front of you does essentially is allow communities to step past the first process that's required in land use law for industrial lands. Currently, there's a need to justify the need for bringing in additional industrial lands into your UGB. And in some cases, that is a time-consuming and expensive process. What this bill would do is not blow up the land use system, not replace the land use system, not eliminate the land use planning system. It simply gets us past that first step for certain properties that meet certain criteria. And you'll notice that in the amendment, it would have to be a large site of at least 100 acres. It would have to be contiguous to a city's UGB. It could not be soil types 1, 2, 3, or 4. It could not be in the Willamette Valley or in Portland. It would have to be eastern or southern Oregon. And we're working on a definition of southern Oregon. Here's the statutory definition for eastern Oregon.
South of Salem. Representative,
and then it would have to be zoned. It would have to be zoned primarily, or would be zoned primarily for industrial traded sector purposes. And again, that definition comes out of the agreement that we reached in Senate Bill 467. So, I think what we've reached here, if we started at point A, we moved to point B. We're now at about point F or G down the process. And we've made a real effort to include people. I think you'll see from the witnesses who are coming up behind us that there is a significant level of support. There are some concerns. We have two people here from Bend who will outline their concerns. We have made an effort, as you can see with my list of 10 things that we've done, to accommodate and limit the application of this provision. We think it's reasonable. Let me turn it over to David Hales to talk specifically about Bend's situation.
Look, could I ask a specific question, Mr. Chair?
Doug Greenlick.
Would you explain on Section 3A18 following on, does this say that all the goal that you having done this, you don't have to think about any of the other goals in land use planning? I mean, is that it says what goals are included under? I haven't pulled out the statute, but under 197.732.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Greenlick, it's a very good question, and the answer to your first part of your question is no. The only thing that this amendment does is get us past the needs justification, which requires a study, significant time and expense. Every other provision in the land use planning process would still be in effect. So I think David will talk a little bit about the time and the money that would save in this particular case. But as far as other analyses that would have to be done, public participation, all those remain the same. And I think LCDC is here to testify, at least neutral, if not possibly in support of the bill, and they could explain further.
Thank you.
Representative Zahner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Doug, a week or two ago, I was going to do the same identical thing for my city. Happens to be Woodburn, happens to be in the Willamette Valley. Mm-hmm. So why should I let your town do that and not my town do that? The exact same situation, except probably a little, I don't think we have 100 acres involved there. But it's exactly the same. So,
yeah.
Can you tell me why I can't do my Woodburn thing?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Zahner, I feel your pain. I sympathize with you.
Well, you don't feel my pain.
This was a significant discussion that has been going on for several weeks inside the building about which. I'm a pragmatist. I tend to think that you take a bite at the apple, you move the ball down the road as much as you can, and I think our concern was that in the metro area and the Willamette Valley, and I think there's some higher zone soil on your site that would not apply to this particular site that is a problem. And so I agree that you've got a significant concern. I wasn't sure, based on what I've seen this session, that we didn't limit it to eastern and southern Oregon for this pilot project attempt, that we'd be able to get it through the process and sign them together, and that really is our goal here. So I'm not sure that's a complete answer or a satisfactory answer, but that's where we were trying to move. I was trying to come up with something that really was limited, that would avoid some of the contentious debates that the committee's had so far, and move the ball down the court.
Any further questions for Mr. Riggs? Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rackman.
I was outside, so I missed part of your presentation, but I just had a couple of questions. And if I move it out of sync, it's because I was outside in the hallway. But we're talking about the Dash 2 amendments primarily. All right. On two occasions, on lines 18 through 24, it states basically that if a city identifies one or more sites, it's deemed to have demonstrated the need for such sites, and they also used the same language before, later, that if a city identifies such sites, it's deemed to have demonstrated sufficient reasons why state policy and land use for applicable goals should not apply. I'm worried about the wording deemed. That seems to indicate that there should be a fact-finding process that we are circumventing. Is that the purpose of that language?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ackerman, in essence, yes. The assumption in the Industrial Lands Working Group was that there was a need. And Senate Bill 467, which is in the Ways and Means process now, actually goes significantly further than this amendment would go. But there was agreement that there was a need for large industrial sites in the state. Some of our concerns with Senate Bill 467 were that there was no specific reference to rural areas, eastern and southern Oregon in particular. And so there's no guarantee that any of those 25 sites would be in a rural area or east of the mountains. But as I explained a moment or two ago, I think most people agree that there is a need for large sites, and it's kind of a chicken versus the egg debate that we have in trying to demonstrate the need. And I think David will talk a little bit about that in a minute. But if you don't have a site available, and a company from out of state or from someplace else in the state knows that it will take you 7 or 8 or 10 months to do the needs justification, and then even if you do the needs justification, it could be appealed, which would add several more months. So they look at the process and they say, well, even if there's a potential site here, it will be 15 to 20 months before we could possibly get groundbroken. And so what we identified as one of the major holdups in preventing the expeditious approval of sites and bringing them into the UGB was this whole needs determination. So given the economic situation, we believe that having a program, pilot program, that expires in 2009 would give us an opportunity to step over that first time-consuming and expensive step and have the potential to bring in some large industrial sites, which would generate interest in the state and potentially jobs down the road.
Just a follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up.
Are you assuming then that if the bill is passed as amended and we that there would be no appeal processes simply because certain actions are deemed to have occurred?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ackerman, on the needs determination, yes. But there would be numerous other avenues for appeal. This bill does nothing beyond determining that there is a need. Beyond that, the whole LCDC approval process, comprehensive plan amendment process, the public participation process remains intact. And so there would be other opportunities and other avenues for people to take this to LCDC or to LUBA down the road to appeal a decision that was proposed to LCDC by a city.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you. Is there some reason you have to wait until there's an application before you can do a needs study? And the second part of my question is, once that study has been done, do you have to do it again every time there's an application?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Rosenbaum, I think that's a better question maybe for me to let David answer or LCDC answer.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I would, sir, if I may.
Representative Greenlee.
One of the big concerns about industrial land supply here is that it's being eaten up by big box retail and a variety of things. You use this traded sector concept. Can you tell us, I'm staring at 285A010, basically what that means? I mean, could we put a Costco into an industrial site under the traded sector definition?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Greenlee, this was a debate that we had over a period of weeks in the Industrial Lands Working Group, and I think all of us agreed in the working group that that was not, we were not looking to bring in sites for big box retail or real estate offices or 7-Elevens or McDonald's or Wendy's. And so the definition that we, the reason I picked that definition is because it was the definition that the working group had agreed to in 467. I think as David will testify here in a moment, Ben, especially for the initial amount of land that they'd like to bring in under the provisions of this act, fully intends to make sure that it's for industrial and related activities. And certainly we don't want to just have, you know, there's an effort, I think David will talk about it, to have a little bit of mixed use, but that's not residential, it's not retail, it's not meant to be a big box. I mean, if you look at the site, and David has a map, right across the street there are already a number of big box sites. There's a Target and several other, there's a Home Depot. So the property I don't think is ideal for those types of development, and David might be able to talk in a little more detail about that.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm David Hales, the city manager of Bend, and here not only representing myself, but also the Bend City Council, which we even had a meeting last night, talked about this morning's testimony. I'm here to talk about jobs, good family wage jobs, the fact that Bend and Central Oregon has lost thousands of good manufacturing jobs over the years, which I'm sure you're aware. Also, we've lost significant opportunities in our community in Central Oregon to businesses that could not find large industrial tract lands in our community. We have a great and a golden opportunity in Bend to correct that and to provide some large tracts for industrial land for businesses, and I'll give you a few examples of why that's important to have that supply. And one other fact, industry today is much different than when I started my public safety public management career 20 years ago. Then it was a time when businesses had years to maybe plan for and to move ahead with site selection, building facilities. Today it's literally months, and many opportunities they're looking for is to have facilities already built. And many of you know that they're on 2-, 3-, 5-year planning horizons. I've also had experience not only working in Oregon, but North Carolina and Utah. I've seen some examples of extremely successful research parks where large industries, manufacturers, have created enormous wealth for communities and residents in those states. And North Carolina has been one of the, I believe, three very competitive states on the eastern seaboard and has a lot of ways that they've tried to not only balance the needs of industry and jobs with also the needs of the environment and maintaining a high quality of life. Certainly, the Bend City Council supports House Bill 2617 and the amendments being talked about this morning. But let me give you a few examples in addition to the written comments that I think will bring out why this is so important that this bill pass now. One example, we have a very large and significant business in Bend, major recreational vehicle manufacturer, employs over 500 employees, paying wage jobs, $12 or more an hour. They need 50 acres of land for their expanding business. This is not a new business coming into the state. They cannot find 50 acres of industrial land in our community, not within our urban growth boundary, not within our urban reserve. If we cannot provide them with this facility, which this type of site, they are more than likely to leave Bend, leave Central Oregon, and who knows if they might even leave the state of Oregon as well. That's much of a concern to us. In Bend, like in many areas, we have a supply of small industrial tracts of land. In fact, unfortunately, there's a real speculation. A lot of investors are buying up 1, 2, 3 acres of lands and tracts, industrial parks, and sitting on them. you know, because they're waiting for that land to appreciate. Just a few weeks ago, we had a delegation of about 8 people come to Bend. Bend was fortunate to be one of 2 communities, Boise being the other, that was being looked at for the siting of a large $80,000 to $100,000 facility that would employ upwards of 600 people, paying job wages of $10 to $15 dollars an hour. They were attracted to Bend because of the quality of life, our environment, natural resources, and they saw that the workforce was there. But again, this is after a process of a nationwide search. Unfortunately, they cannot find 40 acres of land ready to go for their business. They have a 2-week time frame in which they're going to decide whether to locate in Bend or Boise. They want to have this business up and operating, these employees hired by next spring and summer. And this kind of gives an example of just 2 recent,
Representative Doyle.
Just to clarify, I thought I heard you say an $80,000 to $100,000 facility.
Excuse me, $80,000 to $100,000 square foot facility. Yeah, the total investment they're looking at is over $12 million. So,
I'm sorry, how much?
Over $12 million. Over a $12 million investment in this facility. Thank you for that. Bend, as I've shown in the written comments and attached to that, owns 1,500 acres. It's all in one ownership, the city of Bend. This has never been farmed. It came from the BLM to Deschutes County to the city of Bend and has been identified as the supply of industrial land for all of Deschutes County. We feel that this is a great opportunity to locate and to provide in here not only 25 or 50 acre tracts of industrial land, but 100 acres or more. And we see a very significant need for that size of large tracts of land. We very much are committed and support the city's land use laws. But again, businesses today can't wait. They want to be able to drive out on a paved road, know that water and sewer are available to these large tracts of land. They want to know that they can sit down with their building permit and get that within 30 days and be able to start building. That is their time frame. It is not the time frame that the state planning laws allow for in our community and throughout the state. We're committed to a master planning process that would involve many people and many citizens involved to make sure that this industrial park is compatible not only with our sense of how it needs to tie in with Bend and all of Central Oregon, but we want to make sure that the right businesses come to Central Oregon. We have completed an economic land study. It took about 2 years to complete, thousands and thousands of dollars. When we called up the land use attorney and says, help us get through the land use process to bring this into our urban growth boundary, and we says, well, the last one I did took 2 years. I says, that won't do. We need to get it in within a year. We've been working with the county, ODOT, DLCD, and many other partners. We think that the most likely shortest time frame is about 6 or 7 months to bring in only 200 acres, because that's all the land study, the economic land study said that we could qualify for. Now, the error in these type of studies is they look at aggregate number of acres. What that study did not identify is the fact that to be competitive today, this state and these communities need to have 100 acre tracts, 50-acre tracts, and unfortunately, that was not included in our study. We could redo the study and try and justify 400, 500, 600 acres, but we're looking at another year delay and much more in cost. But again, we're losing opportunities today. We would like to have infrastructure in place this summer so that when the next company comes into town, we can show them those 50-acre tracts of land that they want to buy and locate. We think that because this is municipally owned land, we can extremely be more effective because we can hold on to this land longer. There's not too many companies looking for 100-acre tracts, but when they do, we need to make sure that we hold that inventory and have it available if it's next year or 2 years or 3 years. That's why it's so critical that this bill is passed by the legislature so that we cannot just exempt ourselves from good planning practices, but we need to go through a process of planning and building. We want to do the good planning, but we also want to start building the infrastructure so we can get the first 100 or 200 acres ready and available. And if we could do that by the end of the year, I think we could assure ourselves that we would no longer be losing opportunities for businesses and maybe those that exist within our community.
Mr. Chair, could I?
So I'd like to just conclude by...
Representative Greenlee.
I'm a little confused. You've made a very compelling case for need. And I think what I heard you say is you did a screwed up study when you started to run the process, and therefore you couldn't use your good need argument to use the usual land use planning process to have this qualified as industrial land.
This is a study.
You want us to make up for that error? Is that the issue?
No, let me correct that. The Department of Land and Conservation Development felt that this was a perfect study. This complied with state planning laws, even though they failed to recognize that these types of studies can't just look at an aggregate, some total of acres, but it needs to include these large industrial tracts of land, and I think that's an error in our state planners who fail to see that that needs to be part of our long-term land supply.
May I follow up, sir?
Follow.
But in that study, you said we have this land, you started your land use process. Did you start your study about 1,500 acre tracts? I mean, did you try and make the need case that you're making now as a part of the land?
We could, part because of your we
own
could not
city development
at that time
process in your own in your own urban growth boundary expansion?
This study was started before I came to Bend, but it was started to be consistent with, and we worked with our local DLCD representative to make sure it would meet their requirements. And so it was done working in cooperation with state planners, and this is all they could justify and be assured the DLCD would approve.
May I make one more follow-up?
No.
One more question.
How much land have you over the last 10 years in Bend been approved for industrial use, and what's happened to that land?
We actually, we're getting a smaller supply of land. I can't tell you exactly, but this aggregate supply, even though we're showing through historical trends, may give us another 10 years, but it's all small tracts of land. And our realtors would tell you there's a market.
You didn't have any large tract lands that were ever approved for Bend?
Well, if they were, you know what, what is happening in the private sector, they're parceling those up. The economics are that in order to make money, to turn a profit, they've got to parcel those up. And there is the market there on a yearly basis for the smaller tracts, but they can't make enough money because they can't sit on those large tracts long enough and wait for those couple of opportunities each year.
Just a final question. Is there something in this bill that will prevent that from happening again, Doug?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Greenlee, I think that's a very good point. And one point that David made in his testimony, which I think is really hits on this point directly, is there's an economic incentive for someone who has a larger site in the private sector to parcel it out to sell it as quickly as possible. The advantage to this site is it's all owned by the city of Bend.
But that's not all that's in this law.
Correct. So I agree.
I don't think this law is
Representative Greenlee.
Excuse me.
You will
I'm
go
done.
Through the chair.
I'm done.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Greenlee, I agree. We did that by identifying sites that are at least 100 acres. So there's the 100 acre limitation in there. And then there's just, from this site's perspective, the requirement or the fact that it's all owned by the city of Bend. And so the city feels very strongly that they'll be able to do a better job of keeping it in large sites. But we do have the 100-acre provision, which was something that a number of people raised during the process, that it ought to be for large sites. And we also have the definition of industrial-traded sectors. So that gets at the earlier question that you asked, which is, the intention here is not to allow a strip mall or big box retail. The intention here is to be for those, granted, probably not frequent, but good opportunities that come along from time to time for a major employer to come into the community.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Zahner.
Mr. Chair, Dave, I have empathy for you. You talk about length of time. The city of Woodburn has worked for 6 years. Everything's shovel ready. We've lost AgriPac, Fleetwood. Now we're losing Smuckers. We have three high-tech firms that would start up on this property. My question is, are those firms going to go over to Bend? are those firms that would be working in Woodburn if I got my piece of property. So we're either further ahead than you are. So I still am struggling with this, Doug and Mr. Hale, because why can't we do this over there? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, Representative Zahn, if I could just respond quickly. I think there are a number of bills that are moving through the process, many of which the committee has seen, some of which you haven't seen, which will help the Woodburn situation. And we can go into more detail on that. But I think there has been the Industrial Lands Working Group, the effort on House Bill 2912, which is the Land Commission Task Force. I think there are going to be an awful lot of opportunities to help the Woodburns of the world as well. As I mentioned, I watched what happened with the bill and was very cognizant of that fact. And I know that an awful lot of the people have told me the Willamette Valley is a particularly sensitive area. So if you're going to do a pilot project, limit it to an area outside of it. But I still think there are some other provisions. I think the governor is interested in helping as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, committee needs to move on. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
John Chandler, Harlan Levy, and Linda Ludwig. Can have that panel come up. Morning, Mr. Levy.
Good morning, sir.
You'd like to start?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I am Harlan Levy, staff attorney for the Oregon Association of Realtors. We were the requesters of this bill, and we do support the Dash 2 amendments. We consider them friendly amendments to the bill. I'm not going to speak for too long. I know that you've got a busy agenda and not much time. But in a nutshell, we believe that this amendment will provide additional tools for the city of Bend to do what they need to do to bring this industrial land inside of their urban growth boundary. We believe this bill complements several other bills that are working their way through this body dealing with this very important issue of a lack of industrial land. With that, I will conclude and be happy to entertain any questions you might have.
Okay, we'll hold our questions until the entire panel's done. John?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, John Chandler, Legislative Advocates, here on behalf of the Dash 2 Amendments 2617. I'm also, in addition to having several clients, the Urban Developers Coalition, builders and contractors, and home builders who are interested in this legislation, I'm also a former member of the Redmond City Council. And while it kind of pains me in that with that hat on to do anything for the city of Bend just because of a historic rivalry, I commend these amendments to you. We've discussed in this committee with regard to other bills the process that happened during the interim with House Bill 3557, the commercial industrial land study that this legislature commissioned last session. And what was found in that work was that in most communities in the state, you have a 20-year land supply, you don't have a short-term land supply. And what this bill is attempting to address with regard to the city of Bend, I believe, and elsewhere, I suspect, is that piece of being able to get land that's available, that has the infrastructure in place, ready to roll in a way that can actually hit the market, the needs of the market, in an expeditious fashion. We're trying to do something similar with Senate Bill 467, which is in the Ways and Means Committee. We've discussed that in general terms with you before. That's the industrial lands bill coming out of this session, to look at that issue of ready-to-go, shovel-ready, market-ready, whatever you want to call it, types of land. I think this bill does fit with that. I think the idea of getting, of looking at these kind of parcels in a controlled fashion like this bill does is appropriate given the time it takes to go through the process and the fact that it is unclear under the current law what, you, in terms of the long-term land supply, the 20-year versus less than or over than is muddy. I think this bill helps jurisdictions, and it's controlled enough and limited enough in its application to not create too much anxiety. It'll actually help these places get these companies, provide land for the companies so they can compete. Thank you.
Ms. Ludwig.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Linda Ludwig for the League of Oregon Cities. The League does support the amendments to the bill and doesn't disagree possibly with some of the sentiment already expressed by committee members. This bill is extremely narrow. It will be a pilot project, and it will address a situation in the city of Bend with the state's current interest in industrial lands and the emphasis on economic stimulus in our state right now, we concur that it would be a very good pilot to let run and see what the implications are. The situation in the city of Bend is somewhat unique, again, that the municipality owns this industrial land. It is in big pieces, and they have infrastructure very close, ready to go. So I think with that, it would be good for this bill to pass so that we could see what the implications are in the future, so that we could analyze the potential to have a less narrow subset of criteria for these types of sites, possibly in the future.
Thank you. Any questions for this panel? Representative Greenlee.
I may have used up all my questions last time, so I'll try and keep this one brief.
Like a cat, we give you nine eyes.
Mr. Chairman, in spite of the reality of things, you have a certain credibility here, and I'm going to ask you to stretch that credibility. I worry a lot about industrial land supply, but I really worry about it getting assigned as industrial land and then getting eaten up for a bunch of other things. And should we be pretty confident that your clients, the home builders, aren't going to be able to get their hands on this kind of land to use for other, I'm saying this facetiously, but it really does trouble me. Are you pretty confident that these 100-acre parcels or 50s will be able to stay in industrial use under this bill?
Mr. Chairman, Reverend Greenlee, I am, but you raise a very good point, and it's one that I don't think was necessarily pertinent to this bill in the sense it's not in the text. It's something we have struggled with in 467, and we're going to continue to talk about during the interim. And if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, let me just give a little bit of the background noise. The issue of Senator Greenlee has identified is if you have essentially putting state resources, if you will, a piece of legislation in this case, in 467, infrastructure money or something else, into getting industrial land for a particular use, industrial traded sector, then you want to make sure that investment pays off in the sense of what the state has done or the local community has done. And you don't want it converting into another Walmart is typically the example used. But essentially, you want to be able to tell a Salish hand from Motel 6 or a Nike campus from a 7-Eleven. The state of our definitions isn't right now not very good. The state of our ability to control that isn't very good. And the legal background is, how long does a property owner have to hold a piece of industrial land waiting for something else to happen, for Intel to show up while they lose money on other opportunities? In this case, because it is municipally owned, I think the likelihood that I think the city of Bend has quite a bit of control, unless they're very sleepy owners, on what happens on this property. So in terms of other uses, I think the best answer I can give you to this set of facts is that it is owned by the city, who has a very direct and necessary need to have this kind of use occur. But the broader question you ask
for one of the six pieces, right?
For one of the six, and I'm not, I understand there may be some others. I don't know if there's any of what the other ones might be.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, panel.
Thank you.
Bob Reddy is here from LCDC, and I have a note here that says, at least he was here. Oh, there he is.
There he is.
That you were neutral on this bill, Bob, that LCDC was, is that, could you just give us a brief?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Bob Rindy with the Department of Land Conservation and Development. Myself and Chair of our Commission, Randy Franke, were in the initial meeting in Representative Knope's office, and we did propose this, and I believe, and I think the House Bill 3557 committee from last session very clearly found that we have a shortage in the state of large lot industrial sites that are serviced. They're on paper. If you look at the urban growth boundaries around the state, there are a lot of industrial land sites shown, but for a variety of reasons, those do not meet all the needs that we have. They're either not serviced, they have wetlands. In a lot of cases, they're not very large. And so I think the department supports this concept. The only reason I vacillated on that when asked is for all the bills, I have there's a subcommittee of LCDC that I do have to run these past, and I have not had a chance, I just saw these this morning, to run them past that committee. I think they would support them, but I am speaking in advance of talking to them, so I'm not certain that that's the case. I think that this is a good bill. I think it does follow up with the work that we did throughout the interim in the House Bill 3557 committee from last session in trying to describe the strengths and weaknesses with regard to industrial land statewide that we have through the land use program. I think we do need some large sites. I think this will provide us with large sites. I think it does that in a way that is very careful and within the process. It simply declares, and I think this is a good thing policy-wise, it declares that we need large sites. It doesn't change the Goal 14 process as to locational factors or other things that a city should look at in adding industrial land, but it does make it clear to all the parties, and certainly in Dan and other cases, that this is a need.
Representative Doyle.
Thank you. Bob, can you tell me how you would expect the commission to interpret subsection 3B on page 2 about having this apply to no more than 6 sites as determined by the commission? What are those other 6? I guess what are the other 5 sites besides Bend?
Mr. Chair, Representative Doyle, I don't know anything about that provision. We didn't ask for that to be there. I heard in the hall that the governor's office had. So I just saw that today. I think what it means is it's first come, first serve. And that after there are 6 sites that are somewhere in the eastern or southern Oregon that are put in, that this provision would then sunset. I believe that's how we would interpret it.
Okay, so I guess just to clarify that, I mean, you're looking at this as the overall policy for central and southern Oregon and how it applies to basically 6 sites, where the testimony I think we're getting most is how it affects the initial Bend site. And I guess I'm just trying to distinguish between helping out, you know, one particular, you know, individual need versus looking at a statewide policy here. And maybe you can give me some help on that.
Chair, Representative Doyle, I think that the need is broader than Bend. In fact, when we were talking about this, and we have discussed this throughout the session, the fact that I think it should be, we should think about a way to streamline the process to bring in large sites. I know there are 2 sites south of Klamath Falls. They're very large. They're adjacent to transportation, adjacent to the airport. They're adjacent to the urban growth boundary. At the time we were proposing this, we thought that it would apply to those sites as well. And I don't know, but there are probably other sites in the state that will take advantage of this. I just don't know where they all are.
Representative Zauner is looking for 95 acres at this point.
He's excluded the Willamette Valley.
Mr. Chair, I understand that's Class 2 soil, but I don't.
Maybe you can move Woodburn to eastern Oregon.
Change soil.
Is there any? If I can follow up one more. Bob, just maybe if you could explain, too, how you think this bill would apply to, I guess, just the general hierarchy of bringing lands into the UGB. Secondary lands, you know, North Plains comes to mind, you know, where specific exemptions can be made if people aren't satisfied with the way the current land use process provides the redirection. Does this circumvent that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Doyle, I don't think it does. And again, I it's not something that we've had enough time to really study. I just saw the actual wording this morning, but I don't see anything in here that circumvents the hierarchy process. Once it's determined that there is a need, and this declares there's a need for large sites adjacent to UGB, my sense is that the hierarchy is rarely going to be invoked because you're not. Certainly the city will have to look at that hierarchy, but I don't think that will very often be an impediment. Again, I'm guessing on that, but that's my feeling.
Thank you, Bob. And our final panel, Kate Kimball, Ann Wheeler, and Randy Tucker.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Randy Tucker, 1000 Friends of Oregon. I'm mainly here to introduce my colleagues, but let me make a couple of very brief introductory remarks. For over two decades, 1000 Friends has worked to ensure that our land use laws provide a framework for economic development in this state. We played an integral role, for instance, in drafting enforceable provisions to Goal 9, the economic development goal, about 20 years ago. In the current climate, we have been working along with many of the parties that have already testified this morning in order to create legislation that would use our land use planning program to help spur economic recovery, and we are supporting the bill that Mr. Chandler mentioned this morning, our Senate Bill 467, which would ensure the availability of shovel-ready sites. However, we're here to testify this morning in opposition to this bill. I'd like to, first of all, we had a brief discussion about this particular bend site in the 467 working group, and we explicitly did not do this in that bill. And there's a reason that people would have dropped off that bill. That bill creates a possibility or a process for determining or identifying 25 shovel-ready sites around the state. It's a statewide focus, and it identifies sites that are important. This bill is sort of a second subsidiary process that we don't support. In response briefly to Representative Zahner's comments about Woodburn, it's a bit of a sore subject between us still because we didn't agree on that bill, but I think one of the, as we heard in the testimony that day when that bill came up, one of the major issues there precisely was the need for the land. And we see no justification for requiring Woodburn to demonstrate a need to expand its UGB and not requiring other cities to do so. That said, I'd like to turn to introducing my co-panelists here. Kate Kimball works for 1000 Friends of Oregon. She is our Central Oregon. She runs our Central Oregon regional office. We have four offices away from our Central Portland office, including one in Southern Oregon as well. Then I just wanted to also mention that Ann Wheeler, who's to my right immediately, is here representing Friends of Bend, and I haven't really taken the opportunity to explain adequately the nature of our relationship with the affiliate groups that we work with around the state. They're often, I think, maybe viewed as sort of arms of 1000 Friends. They are not. They are freestanding independent organizations that make their own decisions, and we just have a community of interest, and we work with them on some of those areas, but she's not here speaking for 1000 Friends, she's speaking for a different group. I just wanted to clarify that. Ann and Kate left Bend at 5:30 this morning in the snow, so I'll let them speak rather than holding forth any longer.
Thank you, Randy. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Ann Wheeler, and I am representing a group called Friends of Bend that has about 600 active members in the Bend community. And I'm here to testify in opposition to this House Bill 2617. After listening to Mr. Hale's very persuasive testimony, we still feel that there is no need for this legislation. Bend has been working for the last 6 months, and we have been working with the city since January, really, to do to work on this UGB expansion. They developed and presented to the City Council a plan for bringing in an identified 250 to 300 acres of additional land for industrial, and we've been part of that process and have not indicated in any way that we are in opposition to that or that we would be appealing that move to bring in an additional 250 to 300 acres to the UGB. That plan that they presented gave a timeline for working through this 250-acre process and included a lot of public involvement. The needs study has already been done, as Mr. Hales described. The fact that needs study didn't necessarily look at large 100-acre sites doesn't mean that needs study was flawed. It did show a need. We recognize that need, and we think that process should continue forward, and we're getting there, and we're very anxious to continue to work with the city to expedite that process any way we can to bring in that acreage. In addition to that, this includes a timeline for master planning the additional 1,500 acres, recognizing that if we do a master planning process in the next 6 to 8 months, when an industry comes with a need for a 100-acre site, they will be much further along in order, and they they'll be further in the planning process and be able to work through the process much more quickly. If the fear is of an appeal, if that's why this is being done, because they're afraid that the process is going to take so long for an appeal, nothing that we have done has indicated that we are in a place where we want to do an appeal. At the Governor's Task Force, Industrial Lands Task Force meeting last week, there was an indication that there were 25 shovel-ready sites already identified in the Central Oregon region. Granted, not necessarily right in Bend, but in the Central Oregon region. What we need first and foremost are industrial users for those sites, and then we need to have infrastructure that serves those sites. Those are the real needs, and that was what was talked about at the Governor's Task Force, was the fact that there's really a need for preparation of those sites that will exist when the UGB is expanded for this 300 acres. In addition to not being in need for this legislation right now, there's a cost if you pass this legislation, and that the primary cost is to public participation. Citizens in Bend have a lot of interest in where residential housing and developments go, but they also have an interest in where industrial sites are going to go, and they have a basic right under current land use planning to participate in that process of deciding where are new industries going to go, how are they going to get there, where are the nearest houses going to be, what's that process going to be like. This eliminates that opportunity for the citizen to participate in identifying those sites and to determining how much land. This is 1,500 acres as opposed to 300 acres, which has gone through the need study. This bill basically exempts them from participation and violates Goal 1 in participating in that element of land use planning. Within this bill, there's no assurance that there's going to be sound planning. And I think the experience in Oregon has been that if you don't have sound planning, it costs more. So there's sound planning ultimately is going to save citizens money. And so if you bring in 1,500 acres, though it is all under one ownership, there is nothing in this legislation that says that it has to remain large sites. Yes, the site itself has to be bigger than 100 acres. Okay, this site is 1,500 acres, but there is nothing that says that the city can't divide that. Let's face it, economy is the economy. If businesses come and want 30-acre sites or they want 20-acre sites, we currently have a 30-acre site right now, an industrial site, and there's a proposal to divide it into 13 small industrial sites before the city right now. So there's nothing that says that that can't happen. This bill doesn't protect it from that. This doesn't save it for 100-acre sites. This just says that the initial site has to be 100 acres. So I see this as an end run around good planning. It can result in piecemeal costly development. It doesn't recognize and encourage master planning. It doesn't encourage regional planning. We ask for the opportunity to continue to work with Bend in the process and for you to vote no on this bill. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, as Randy indicated, I'm Kate Kimball, and I'm the Central Oregon representative for 1,000 Friends of Oregon. And as he also stated, we oppose this bill, and I want to make clear that we don't...
Please, if you will, do not duplicate what Mr. Tucker has already said.
I just want to make sure that...
you're representing the same organization.
That's true, and my comments will be different than Randy's. I just wanted to make sure you understood I was consistent with what he'd said before.
No, that's fine. we understand no.
Okay. I want to be clear that we also support bringing in 250 to 300 acres of industrial land in Bend, and I had thought we were in the process of doing that. I have several concerns about the bill as it is before you, the amendment as it is before you. First of all, it's inconsistent, I believe, with the House Bill 3557 report, which is the Industrial Lands Task Force report, which talked about needing greater compliance with land use laws and greater economic vision planning and compliance with that planning. And I think that's very important for an area like Central Oregon, which has had just rampant growth, which I know in other areas they would like to see that. But economic planning is all the more important because we need to focus our efforts and bring in the kinds of livable wages, as Mr. Hale suggested, and keep a vibrant community. And I would like to see a process that supports that, and I believe this amendment moves us away from that. The core of our concerns are with the needs analysis. The needs analysis are at the heart of good land use planning. Without it, we take the planning out of land use. And I think most of us agree that what we like is an orderly process for how we're going to grow and our communities will change. But without this, we have no people and no planning in the process. We are, for example, there are existing industrial sites within the city limits of Bend that are being skipped over so that Bend can get to city-owned land outside the UGB. This may also be true in some of the other sites that might qualify under this legislation. We have a compact urban form, which is at risk, and that's important because a compact urban form allows us to have more cost-effective provision of services. Transportation planning becomes more difficult as we move around without knowing what our needs are and if we're satisfying them. Infrastructure costs can be can increase over time, and the number of acres that we need for this are unknown. For example, Mr. Hales has told you that they want to bring in 1,500 acres. In the discussions we've had with Ben, what they want to do is some mixed use in that area, have some affordable housing is one of the things they discuss, educational center and things like that. I think these are all very good ideas. What we need to do is plan for that and have a master planning process. This short circuits that, and I think that would be inappropriate. As Ann suggested, there's no assurance this land will be reserved for industrial lands, and there's no planning period in here. I also want to talk a little bit about what goals are exempted.
Ma'am, we really don't need the instructions on the goals, if you can keep your comments addressed to the...
Okay, my comment was going to be about the impact of the bill on the goals.
Let me ask the question I was going to ask, which may relate to this, and it really is the testimony Mr. Riggs gave that the only thing that short circuits is the need analysis and doesn't short circuit citizen participation and a variety of other things. And do you have a different analysis on that question?
Well, my view is that this short circuits goals 9, the economic goal, development goal, goal 14, the urbanization goal, and the goal 2 exception process, which sets up a hierarchy. And because it's done through statute, I think goal 1, public participation, is affected as well.
But we just had LCDC tell us that it doesn't.
I disagree with their analysis.
Welcome to the group.
Well, if I could just follow that up a little bit. I mean, this doesn't have anything to do about which site is in, I mean, you know, where citizens can participate on whether this site's in the right place or in the wrong place. All it deals with, I think, it seems to me, is the need question.
I believe that when I look at 3A, it talks about any land use planning goals, it doesn't say just goal 14, or rule regarding urbanization or economic development. To bring land into an urban growth boundary, you have to go through goal two, alternative site analysis. And I believe this affects that. I mean, it could be clarified so it doesn't, but I believe it affects that, so you could not engage in public participation or have any appeal of that issue, of what particular lands were selected. Mm-hmm. Can I make another point?
Okay. If you can, I'm sorry, we.
I can tell. I know. I can tell you all have.
We didn't expect this bill to take all this time. So.
Well, may I say welcome to the club? I was also surprised by this legislation. My last 3 points are. I'm concerned also that LCDC selects 6 sites, but there's no criteria for LCDC, so I don't know on what basis they would select 6 sites. I believe there's no need for it because we are working with Bend and other communities. And I want to thank you for taking the time to listen and ask that you vote against this legislation.
I have a question, just based on what you just said. Mm-hmm. You don't know any other reason for the other sites, but don't you represent just Bend?
No, I cover 3 counties, Jefferson, Crook, and Deschutes counties.
So how can you speak for Klamath County?
I must have misspoke. I don't understand your question. That I was trying
to say. You said you didn't see any need for another 5 sites if this was all about Bend.
No, what I was trying to say, and I'm sorry if I misspoke, what I was trying to say is that in the legislation in 3B, it says the provisions of the subsection may not apply to more than 6 sites. And my point was there's no criteria for LCDC to decide which sites. How do they know? Let's say Bend puts in 3 sites and there's 40 sites before LCDC. How do they know which 6 to select?
Well, I think they indicated it was first come, first serve.
I don't see anything in the legislation that says that it has to be that way.
And Mr. Chair, just to answer your question about Klamath Falls, we have a different staff person that handles 6 counties in Southern Oregon, I believe, or more, and I'd be glad to put you in touch with him.
So. Andy, my only question was that you were making a statement for all of Eastern and Southern Oregon.
No, and I did not intend to do that, and I was not trying to make any statements about whether how many sites should be done or anything like that.
Okay. Any questions for this panel? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
committee, I'd like to vote on this. Doug, you want to come back up for a moment? I want to make sure that Representative Greenlick has gotten all the answers that he needs, or any other committee member, and then we will take a vote on this committee.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, can I just make one point, which I think is a key point? And I think Representative Greenlick's question is a good one. Ben does not intend to bring to apply to bring in the whole 1,500 acres. I mean, they might apply to bring in 500 to 600 acres. Under this bill, it states that the reason for those acres are for industrial and threatened sector purposes, which means that Bend would have to amend their comprehensive plan for those purposes. If they at some point down the road decided to change their comprehensive plan and allow different purposes, they would have to go back through LCDC, and my understanding from talking to Bob Rindy is they would need a new exception, which would trigger the whole process again. And because the underlying legislation states very clearly industrial and threatened sector purposes, I think anyone could make a very good case that the city of Bend should not be allowed to allow different uses for that piece of property. And one final point, I know you're in a hurry. The point about trying to exempt the process from public participation, I could not disagree with more fully. There will be a complete opportunity through the comprehensive planning process, through the LCDC process, and through the other goals that we do not address or change in any way, shape, or form, for the public to be actively involved in this process. The only thing we do is state the obvious, which is the legislature determines that in rural areas there is a need for large industrial sites. And I think we've had plenty of discussion in the committee about the need for large shovel-ready or market-ready industrial sites. I don't think that's in debate. So the only thing this bill does is advances past that first step. Nothing more.
Any questions, sir? Mr. Riggs? Thank you, Doug. Art, can you do you want to make a comment? And keep it to about a minute if you can. And thank you. I'm sorry, we never seem to have enough time in this committee.
Thank you. Members of the committee, my name is Art Slack. I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties. And initially, I did not intend to speak on the bill. However, I think a couple of things are important to as you look at voting on the bill. One, this is a work in progress. A number of us have looked at small considerations, and this bill, we'll continue to work on this bill should it move over to the Senate. The second thing is we spent a lot of time working on Senate Bill 467, which identifies statewide, which is intended to identify statewide industrial sites at this point. This bill will ensure that at least some of those sites are in eastern and southern Oregon, and there's been a lot of discussion as to, you know, whether the sites under 467 would all be, you know, in the valley or in the Portland metropolitan area, and that's been a concern. So I think it's important as you look at this, this bill will ensure that some of the industrial sites will be in eastern and southern Oregon. Thank you.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
Thank you. This is the first we've heard that there are further changes that are going to be made to this bill. So when you say it's a work in progress, what do you mean exactly?
Mr. Chair, Representative Rosenbaum, there are at least some little things. And I indicated when I've talked to Mr. Riggs and others, there's some provisions in 467 that might be applicable here. Certainly, and one thing that I thought about is just some coordination between cities and counties as they look at this, because what these will be is amendments to the UGBs. And I've had the assurance that that coordination would be incorporated. That's, to me, a very small addition.
Thank you.
Thank you, Art. Mr. Riggs, could you come up and address Representative Rosenbaum's questions?
Mr. Chairman, I'm wearing out my walking shoes here. Members of the committee, the two things were raised to me earlier in the process, which is, number one, the definition of Southern Oregon probably needs a little more work. And so I've committed to working with legislative council. They're apparently in statute or in rules, there's a definition of what Eastern Oregon is, but Southern Oregon needs a little work, and I've committed to do that. A second issue is ensuring, and I've committed to the Farm Bureau to discuss with them more completely, the soil types, to make sure that they're comfortable with it. The soil types in this particular parcel property are, I believe, 5, 6, and 7, which is why we took out 1, 2, 3, and 4. So there may be an issue there, and I'm happy to work with the Farm Bureau on that, because we certainly don't want to get on to prime farmland or soil types 1, 2, 3, or 4. And the third issue is something that Art mentioned, which is, if I don't have it in front of me, but it refers to a city may do these things. And I think what Mr. Schlack was commenting on is the city working with counties or counties and cities together might work on something of that nature. So I really view the three changes that have been raised with me as fairly easy and technical changes that I'm perfectly willing to work with the other parties in the building on.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Riggs. Representative Richardson.
Mr. Chair, I move that the dash twos be added to House Bill 2617.
Representative Richardson has moved the dash two amendments to House Bill 2617. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
This may not be a discussion amendment, maybe a discussion to the amended bill, but I intend to vote this out of committee, and I'm reserving, if it gets out of committee, my further decision. I understand leadership says I hold the record on voting one way in committee and a different way on the floor, and it's just because I'm inherently wishy-washy, I think. But I do want to put on the record some very specific concerns about the dash two amendments, and you'll hear them in the questions. I really think we need shovel-ready industrial land, and I'm willing to work very hard on that, but I've been very unhappy with the performance in the past of those, that we vote large sites and then we chop them up, and I suspect Bend has been as guilty as Hillsborough and other sites that I'm more familiar with in doing this, and if this does have further work, I'd very much like that to be discussed, and it may be under that traded area thing is okay. The other thing that really concerns me, and I want to put on the record, is this question about, I would really like, if there are changes, to have greater assurances in the language of this that it really is only about the need analysis and not about eliminating the other land use goals, especially including citizen participation and urbanization and other things. And I hope if it does get out into the Senate that we have a chance to really strengthen those provisions, and I'll be working on trying to help that along.
Representative Ackerman.
Yes, I have similar views. I just want to state for the record that on the basis of what I heard this morning, I think the dash twos are narrow enough to pay my vote for purposes of placing it on the House floor.
Thank you, Representative. Any further discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection to moving the dash twos into House Bill 2617? Seeing no objections, the dash twos are adopted as part of House Bill 2617. Representative Richardson.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2617 as amended go to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Richardson has moved House Bill 2617 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, it's so often the case in this committee that it seems like witnesses come and talk to us, and it's as if they're talking about two different bills, and that does seem to be the case very much with this bill. I appreciate the concerns that were raised. I could probably still be persuaded to vote for this bill, but I think in deference to people who believe that it does something, I'm going to vote no, just so that it gets additional consideration. And I think a unanimous vote, sometimes people don't look so closely. Plus, I'm beginning to think people count on me to vote no on every bill in this committee. And I'd hate to ruin my record now.
Is there any further discussion? Representative Zonner.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm going to vote for the bill because I think economic development for Bend is going to help our entire state. But I'd also like to figure out some way to get Woodburn redistricted into Southern Oregon. Eastern. Maybe, you know, that could happen if we have the same people that designed my district last time.
45th parallel.
Representative Doyle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I too will vote for this bill, and it's based actually on two things that we specifically heard in this hearing today. First, hearing from Mr. Randy that he does not believe that this impacts the land use hierarchy relating to bringing land into the UGB, and I frankly don't know if that's true or not, but I don't have that expertise that I'm relying on the department for. And second thing is hearing Mr. Riggs make the promise that he's going to make sure that Farm Bureau is comfortable with soil types. I see that there are going to be some problems with the other five sites. This one I'm not as concerned about for Bend, but I do see especially some type 6 soils that or classification 6 soils that may be an issue in other sites. And if they're working with the Farm Bureau on it, then I'll be okay with it.
Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Rosenbaum?
No.
Representative Greenwood?
Aye.
Representative Doyle?
Aye.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative
Zahner?
Aye.
Representative
Wink?
Aye.
Chair Gerard?
Chair votes aye. Do we have a volunteer to carry this bill? I won't do that to you, Cliff.
Put it on the consent calendar.
No, I don't. I think Representative Rosenbaum pretty well torpedoed that idea.
There's a leadership responsibility in committees. The tough jobs need to go to the chair.
House Bill 2617, as amended, is passed to the floor with a do pass recommendation, and the chair will carry. And we'll close the work session on House Bill 2617. Committee, we have to be on the floor in 5 minutes. House Bill 2899, which we wanted to hear testimony on this morning. Obviously, we're not going to have time to get to it. But do we have a representative representing the work group on 2899?
Raise your hand.
I'm just going to take about a minute here and open a work session on House Bill 2899. In reviewing some of the amendments, Representative Richardson has come up with some very good suggestions, and we will hear this bill on Tuesday, and I'm hoping that you would get together with Representative Richardson to discuss some of his changes. And then, committee, again, we apologize. You've been throwing a 30-page gut and stuff to this bill and not had time to look at it. So please take a look at it between now and Tuesday so that we can go forward. But I think some of Representative Richardson's suggestions are cosmetic and will avoid some conflicts, as next week will be our final week of this committee. And committee, we have been instructed to stay open to the 16th. So,
Is there opposition to this at the moment? Or?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm John Lilly, the Assistant Director of the Division of State Lands. I participated in the work group. Mr. Nick Coffey has been one of the leaders, was the Chair Gerard's designated leader on this group when we first appeared before you in the costumed as another bill. There is some opposition to elements of the bill. The work group is working diligently together. I expect that we will continue to do so, and the issues that we have faced have brought us a long way, and I think that there is possibility that we can come to closure. We have a broad-based working group, and my hope is that we can bring you that the work group will bring you a bill that you will be able to pass out of here.
So we may have dash threes then? Is that right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Greenlick, yes, there will be. My anticipation is there would be some recommendations for change.
Okay, and I would hope that you would get together between now and Tuesday so that the committee could deal with this bill on that date.
We will do so, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, John, very much.
Looks much
and
nice.
Committee, you might remember, this is the bill that we passed off to the Water Committee, and then they have now punted it back to us.
Even the dash twos, it looks a lot better.
Right. So, And my apologies to anyone who was here to testify on 2899 that we ran out of time this morning. And John, thank you, and we'll see you on Tuesday. And we'll close the work session on House Bill 2899 and adjourn the Committee on Environment and Land Use.
We should amend our rules so that if you come in the snow, you don't